if a horror movie or a thriller begins with teenagers inside a house, and there's a suspicious noise outside, and one of the teenagers goes outside to investigate, one knows what's going to happen next. An episode of Star Trek begins with a routine mission on a planet, and they send the away team there to collect soil samples in a standard scientific survey. One knows what's going to happen next. Then, a story from the Gospel of Mark begins with, when evening had come, and Jesus says to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." One knows what's going to happen next. The disciples will not be experiencing a little R&R in Upper Palestine. Instead of a nice relaxing trip on the lake, the disciples get a death-defying journey across the sea. And a similarly scary journey deep into the reality of their discipleship, equal parts terrifying and illuminating. That combination reminds me of that old expression, faith and fear, from our prayer book. It appears in the Rite One service when we pray, "Pray for those for all thy servants departed in thy life, in thy faith and fear." That's a curious pairing, faith and fear. An interesting combination. Those seeming opposites are joined together, with the wisdom of that language being the recognition that the two go hand in hand. The disciples, as well as us, travel our spiritual journeys with a mixture of faith in Christ, but also of fear. Scared of the wind, scared of the Gentiles, scared of the other side and the others there. And they did so with good reason. In the following story in Mark's Gospel, Jesus will face down a demon who has possessed a man to the point where the man lives in chains. Jesus will drive the demons out into a herd of pigs that themselves will be driven off a cliff to perish into the sea. That's scarier than any scary movie, creepier than any science fiction TV show could come up with. The expression faith and fear also appears in the burial office when we pray for those who finish their course in your faith and fear. Many of the disciples were fishermen, entirely familiar with the dangers of the sea. The disciples then might have been saying the first century equivalent of that prayer to one another as the storm gripped the boat, the winds howled, and Jesus remained asleep. Mark clumsily describes the disciples' reaction to Jesus calming the wind as literally, they feared a great fear. Fear is a complex topic in the Bible, for on the one hand, the Old Testament constantly reminds ourselves that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear, in another sense, though, moves us away from God, compels us to focus only on the chaos around us, rather than who is at the helm of the ship. What are we the most afraid of in our lives? Financial loss, loss of an important relationship, natural disaster, violence in the world. The list goes on and on. There are a lot of things to be scared of. So how do we negotiate our faith and our fear? The disciples, they often don't look good in Mark's gospel. In today's story, their faith is tested to the limits. And it's not even until after Jesus had calmed the storm that the disciples feared a great fear. But one must applaud one specific thing that they did during this perilous boat ride. Out of their combination of faith and fear comes the question. After Jesus calmed the storm, they asked, "Who then is this, that even the wind and seas obey him?" The disciples had the courage to ask, "Who is this Jesus?" For us, that same question needs to be asked over and over again. Who is this Jesus? Along with that, how do we awake the Jesus that sleeps inside of us? That will be something that the disciples wrestle with all the way to Jerusalem and for the rest of their lives. So, how do we negotiate our faith and fear? One way is cultivating that sense of wonder, a steady interrogation of all that life has to offer. A realization that one must always be asking about that tension between our own responsibility to act and our dependency on God. That attitude of questioning requires faith, not being closed off with predetermined answers. It recognizes that fear will never be completely driven away. Our lives ultimately depend on God. Negotiating that life of faith and fear is best served by living a life full of questions. With that comes Karl Barth's great statement about questions and answers. The Bible does not always answer, Karl Barth says, the Bible does not always answer our questions, but sometimes calls our questions into greater question. People fear miracles because they fear being changed. In the end, the disciples wanted peace and escape, but instead, they got a miracle that changed them forever. One final thing. Fear gets the last word in Mark's gospel, the very last page, the very last verse. As the women go to visit Jesus' grave after the crucifixion, they find it empty, save an angel telling them that Jesus has risen, that they should go and tell the disciples, and go that he has gone before you to Galilee. Mark records their response. They ran from the tomb and they told no one. They were afraid. It's one of the most stunning editorial decisions in history of narrative. No resurrection appearance, no ascension, no triumphant commissioning of the disciples. Mark closes his account with, "For they were afraid." Remember when the original Star Wars came out? He's going on to run, the second one, Empire Strikes Back, ended. And it ended in the strangest way. Han Solo was frozen in carbonite. Luke Skywalker had been maimed. Audiences didn't know how to react. The Gospel of Mark has an ending like that, with slightly higher stakes. You read it and it closes with this terrible thud. If you put yourselves in the minds of the women at the grave, it had to have been really scary. It's all up in the air. How does this story end? The women knew something about a life of faith and fear. Fear, of course, does not get the last word at the tomb or in our story. In the Gospel today, the disciples were afraid. A storm was raging all around them. Jesus seemed to be asleep, but then he rose and told them, "Peace, be still." What a preview of coming attractions. With God, fear never gets the last word. The stage has gone to black. The credits are rolling. What an amazing sequel God has in store for us. Amen.